Happy New Year and welcome to Virtus Voices. This is Pete Batchelor, Senior Vice President in the Product Group at Virtus Investment Partners. Today, I'm excited to have the opportunity to speak with Matthew Beckendorf. Matt is the CIO at Von Tobel Asset Management. Matt is also a PM on the Virtus Von Tobel Emerging Markets, Global, and Foreign Opportunities Funds. Matt, I really appreciate you taking the time today. How have you been?
Great. Thanks, Pete, for having me today, and thanks to everybody out there listening. Obviously, here we are turning the page to start another year, but, you know, I feel reasonably good. If we look at performance as we've wrapped up 2018 across the board, as I say, I feel reasonably good about that. So what's the framework of me saying reasonably good? I think we go down and tick a number of boxes. Number one, were we style consistent in the year we wrapped up? And that's always our critical number one focus. Did we deliver the portfolios to clients that they're invested with us for, i.e. quality businesses, concentrated growth businesses, and we feel really good about the portfolios last year on that metric. You know, second, did our companies then perform critically? Did our companies, those great high quality companies, deliver, you know, what we reasonably expected from an underlying perspective? And we feel really good about that when we look back at 2018, how the underlying companies did. Now, that doesn't always match up with how the stocks did or how markets do, but we're confident over the long term those two things will match up. So we got to make sure we got the right companies and the right portfolios and that those companies deliver. And then even over the short term, maybe those stocks don't follow the underlying fundamentals. They will migrate that way over time. So we feel confident about that. And then lastly, look, obviously, broadly speaking, investment performance. It was a very difficult year in 2018 for a lot of asset classes and a lot of different equity areas. But if we look at our general relative and absolute performance given the backdrop, I think we feel pretty good about that. And we feel pretty good, particularly because of the trajectory that we ended the year on. You know, as things really got tougher, as weaker data really did filter in, quality started to stand out even more brightly as the year progressed into the end of the year. So overall, feeling pretty good.
And you mentioned the challenges presented by 2018, and even more so when you kind of take a step back and look at the context of the previous 3 years, where we saw historically low volatility, very little downside. So what changed in 2018?
Yeah, I think you nailed it there in your question. And that's what I think people really need to focus on right now, some context, especially if you think back at just December, how we ended the year around the Christmas time with some of that crazy volatility day to day. Now, that was abnormal, and I think there's some other factors to get into on that. But let's be frank, 2018, you had a reintroduction of volatility, really. So that means a normalization. What has been driving that, ironically, the backdrop of Fed normalization. So my point is, I think people, when they look at where we just came from and where we are right now, we need to put it in a longer historical context of, you know, we've been in a very abnormal period for a very abnormally long period of time. You know, we had unprecedented monetary policy, very aggressive for a very long period of time. And quite frankly, that had some strong effects on the markets. And now as that's being normalized, I think it's very hard for people to remember because their framework can only generally go back so far. We're back to our normal. You know, financial markets, asset markets, risk prices, they fluctuate. Sentiment plays a big role in that. Fundamentals matter. Risk matters. All these things that really were persistent and are persistent over the long term in the financial markets, we're only starting to get back to having them day to day. I think that's healthy. I think it's a good thing, but the adjustment period clearly takes a little bit of work. And the two big things that are the catalyst, as you said, at what changed in 2018 that I've been really reminding people on is one, obviously the one I just highlighted, monetary policy. And that was bound to have the effect we saw in 2018. You know, if we rewind the clock back to the beginning of the year, that continued normalization, the continued unwind of the balance sheet and the movement of interest rates was bound to have effects on currencies and it was bound to have effects on volatilities and on markets. You know, and the other piece, though, I'd say the what changed in 2018 was a continuation sort of back from the fall of 2016 is this new issue of trade and trade battles or wars or tariffs and all these things. And that's obviously also bound to cause some trepidation and concern while people are trying to guess what's going to happen on the back of that. And we had a heightened sense of unknown given it. But as we ended the year and we're getting closer, I think people are sort of settling to the normal feeling of, look, this is a negative effect and it's in people's best interest to move on from that. So maybe we'll get some resolution in that as we look forward.
And Matt, given the fact you manage global portfolios, you mentioned the Fed. You mentioned the Fed's path of normalization, shrinking the balance sheet, raising rates, on the impact that's had on the markets. What is your thought of other central banks in terms of them beginning that normalization process? And as they do, what kind of impact is that going to have on the markets?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think let's focus on what probably is a little bit more near dear to people's hearts first, emerging markets, right? So you have this massive, let's call it, the Fed is like the sun of the solar system here, right? And everything else, we're just planets and moons around it. And these other central banks have to be reactive to the Fed to a large degree. Everybody's always watching the Fed because it affects what people do, even though they're in a different country with a different economic cycle. What they have to do has to be influenced by it, the gravitational pull of it. And I think that's where, you know, even if you look back at some of my comments too about 2018, you got to remember where emerging markets have been, right? Emerging markets were bottoming a cycle in 16 and they were recovering strongly. If you remember that, if we can think back past 2018 strongly in 2017 as things were recovering. And in 2018, we had a bout of volatility again, but the underlying emerging markets are pushing forward, right? I mean, they are better run than they've ever been. Their fiscal budgetary situation, I think, are in really good shape, broadly speaking. Their economic development, the quality of companies, the depth and breadth of their economies is good, but they've all been going through their little cycles. And to your question and the heart of it, look, on the back of the Fed, they all, a number of them, you know, had to hike some rates too on the back of marginally because of the Fed, right? Just to make sure they kept their monetary policy somewhat in balance with the Fed. So I think the good news, I think to your question is now, if and as the Fed seemingly is further along their process and or maybe accelerating easing on their process, that bodes really well for central bank activity in emerging markets this year, which also is what makes the backdrop for emerging markets. Although we never really have strong timing calls, it's just not our style. It's very bottom-up, quality-oriented managers. If I read the tea leaves, given we're coming out of a period of a lot of weakness in emerging markets currencies, a lot of introduced volatility into the markets, which typically affects emerging markets economies a little bit more, maybe some more resolution on some of these uncertainties around trade, and then the underperformance of the emerging markets that came with that, it's a really good backdrop for emerging markets going forward because you could also get some better positive, at least positive from a financial markets perspective, activity out of those central banks. So I think that's the story in emerging markets. I think you'll see some more, I don't know how to describe it, some productive central bank activity this year for returns or conducive activity for returns, which is good news. And then, look, the other one, not to spend a lot of time on it, the other big central bank out there, or one of the other big central banks is obviously Europe then, and now they're obviously, I think, still struggling with growth, still struggling with a lot of political and structural issues, but their monetary policy trajectory now at least has started very early stages, the stage of normalization, but they're going to be on a very long path there.
Yeah, so that brings us up to today. So as we enter the new year, and I was going to ask you about the risks that you see in the markets. I think you've already identified a number of them. Are there any others that keep you up at night? And more specifically, how would those risks affect the high-quality companies in which Montobel invests?
Yeah, look, I think that's, if I had to sort of throw out a tagline for people to latch onto, as always, it's quote-unquote risk matters, you know, and in a period where we had post-financial crisis with easy monetary policy, where things were relatively not that volatile for a long period of time, risk, quite frankly, didn't matter as much, right? There was this huge rising tide and tailwind behind asset prices. And now we are back in the environment once again where clearly the market is getting more focused on risk. And where is risk and where is risk greater or lesser? And how you price the risk and valuations is wrapped around with risk too as well, or what are appropriate valuations in the monetary policy or interest rate backdrop we're now in. So look, risk is always present. It's just a question of how much people want to recognize at the time. So these risks were present for a while, but people didn't want to recognize them at all. And they probably didn't need to because they were distracted by the absolute visibility and the abnormal policy backdrop. But here we are. Look, we have a lot of economic gyrations. We have monetary policy gyrations. We have political gyrations, social dynamics, business disruption in industries. And I think the other one, maybe to your question too, which I think people are getting a little bit of taste of, I'm worried about, and you see some other people worried about, is just general market behavior. There's been a lot of fragmentation of liquidity. There's different players that are more prevalent in the day-to-day trading in the market. So all of this comes back to my point, risk matters. It always matters, but now people need to focus on it even more. And what does that mean for us? Look, it clearly, as I'm highlighting, people should get the sense we're always focused on risk with our quality backdrop. Maybe people don't appreciate it as much, but they will now, maybe a little bit more. So we look at the incremental risk we take with every business, and it's why we focus on high quality businesses. They have inherently a lot less risk in them. So I think with the quality of our businesses, we should be set up well for the market environment. I do think it will be a normalized, more challenging market environment. Challenging doesn't mean down, but challenging means you need to be smart. So the wave that's driven passive is now, I think, a little bit dissipated, and you need to focus on risk. You need to be laser focused on the right businesses or the right stocks to deliver returns, absolute and relative, And I think the punchline then to your question is I think that bodes very well for high quality, generally speaking.
Well, Matt, great job, and always a pleasure to sit down with you and hear your thoughts and insights on the market. I think if I had to summarize the entire conversation in two words, those would be risk matters. I think that's the key takeaway here. I also want to thank everyone for taking the time to listen to this podcast. If you're interested in learning more about the Von Tobel Emerging Markets, Global and Foreign Opportunities Funds, or any other Virtus offering, please give us a call at 800-243-4361 or visit us online at virtus.com.